Mothers, mothers, we're all thinking about mothers today. I know I am. This month, my mother will be 81, and I don't often talk about my mother, but I think I'll talk about her a little bit today as we go into this message. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you have given us in our lives people to help us on our journey. And in the beginning, you put us into families. Whatever mother we have, whatever father we have, whatever country we live in, you set the wheels in motion. You started it all so long ago with Adam and then with Eve. In every succeeding generation, right down to today. Today we're thinking about our mothers. We're thinking about the mothers that are here and even ones that are no longer with us. We ask a blessing upon your people and upon your messenger this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now my scripture was Esther, chapter 2 and verse 7. And that was an unusual scripture for one to bring up for Mother's Day, because Esther lost her mother and father and had a man raise her who was her cousin. But Esther was a queen. Esther was destined to be a queen. And I was thinking about that. How can we tie that mother into queen thing? And it's very easy, you see. Growing up in Canada, I had a queen. Just about the whole of my life in Canada, I lived under the queen. Now, for the first year of my life, I was in the United States, but they had a king back then. But in 1952, Queen Elizabeth II became queen of the British Commonwealth of Nations. I'll get to it in a minute here, how we connect mother to queen. Queen Elizabeth II is a queen regnant. That means that she rules. I might say in the house, Mama rules. Does she not? I believe she does. But her father, the king, he had no son. But had two daughters, Elizabeth and Margaret. And some of you know all this, but some of this is a history lesson for some. Her mother, Elizabeth the Queen, who was the consort to King George VI, became known as the Queen Mother. And while she was alive, and she lived to be 101, there were two queens. And traditionally, the Bible, ruler of a country was a parental figure. The king or queen was responsible for the well-being of their subjects. In fact, the idea of kingship or queenship is like this. David was a shepherd, and a shepherd cares for his sheep. And even Moses had to learn how to be a shepherd before he could lead. He thought he had to be a great warrior. He thought he had to do things by strong-arming things, but it's through looking after helpless little sheep, little lambs. And this is what mothers do. They look after the little lambs, the little sheep, and they try to train and nurture these little ones so that they will someday become moral, responsible adults and make a success out of their lives. And hopefully be what they should be. But the king or the queen was to be a servant to the people. And that word servant is not in some kings and queens' vocabulary. They felt the people should serve them. Did they not? And a superiority complex sometimes takes over royalty, where they think they're better than the ordinary person of what they call their subjects. But the king or the queen had this attitude if they were godly. And that was, my people need my care. Not the people need the care for me. And a mother has this natural instinct to care for those in her household even more than the king does. Now, the king loves his children, but a lot of it is left up to mother. You must know that a father and a husband really leans on a mother and a wife to take care of these little lambs. Now, I'm going to talk about my mother. My mother, queen of my house when I was a little boy, was born prematurely, weighed a pound and a half in 1929, and they didn't even think she was going to live when she was born. They put her in a little box, opened up the oven, turned on the oven, and stuck her right about there where she could keep warm and waited for her to whatever. And she decided that she would live. She was almost the last child of that family. She had a little brother after, but he didn't live beyond infancy, so she was the baby of the family, and her oldest sister was 10 years older than her, and she had several sisters and one brother in a 10 years, and she was the last one. When my mother started school at age 6, she was about this big. And you know the little chairs they have in the nurseries and in these little schools, the little chairs that are about this high? My mother's feet would not touch the floor. And when she went to school for the first little bit, they would stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. She lived in Maine. She was American. That's how I became an American, through my mother. And they would say to her, Ollie, my mother's name was Olive, you need to stand up during the pledge. And my mother would look over the top of the chair and say, I am standing up. Consequently, she was too small for school when she was 6, and she had to go home until she was 7, so she was big enough to sit at her desk. My mother, bless her heart, is still alive, but I hear she was a hellion. She was something else. But she was the darling of her school, the darling of her teachers, and even though she would think up awful things to say and do, they loved her. But she was a little... But my mother was a sweet thing. When I was a little fella, some things that I remember, these are nice things about my mother. We'll forget about the other things for now. We're talking about the good things that your mama used to do for you. My mother used to bath me. And I used to remember my mom putting me in the kitchen sink while she had entertaining visitors, and she'd run the water and she'd be bathing me. I remember little things that my mother used to do for me. But one thing I remember about my mother was she took me aside one time and she whispered into my... Now, there were 4 boys in the family and 1 little girl. She took me aside one day all by myself. She whispered in my ear, I think she did that to the other guys too, but at the time I thought, ooh, isn't that nice? My mama thinks I'm the handsomest of all her boys. But mamas have special little ways, and each child is special to that mother, are they not? Now, some mamas will say, your father and I love you all the same. But children don't buy that. Mm-mm. We know who the favorites are, and it isn't us. But they always say, we love you all the same. Mothers are an enigma. Sometimes they'll play with you, and the next minute they're telling you to get away from them. Go somewhere. Go outside. Get out from under my feet. I thought my mother liked flowers. One time I went out and picked all the wildflowers I could find. I was about 5, 6 years old. I went out and picked all these weeds. And I flowers a flower to a little kid. I brought them in, and my mother says, you get those filthy things out of the house. Don't you ever do that again. I was devastated. But now I know what my mother meant. But sometimes mothers can confuse their children a little bit. But my mother loved me. I remember in grade one, they had a little program at Christmas. And my mother came to school and watched us children to give it. And here's this little kid standing up on the... And Mama said, "Oh, no, no, no." She's sitting in the audience, you know. Mothers wash you, clean you, admonish you, teach you, show you how to make beds, tell you how to pick up after yourself. Mothers do all these wonderful things. But mothers are different. They're different from us. You see, the proper attitude between queens or kings and the people was mutual cooperation. But where the ruler leads, the people go. But the queen has something a king doesn't have. What does a queen have that the king doesn't have? She is something a king isn't. She is a she. She is a woman. When a country is ruled by a queen, she is the mother of that country. And she represents all mothers in her realms. Now, Queen Elizabeth has a husband, Prince Philip. But he's not the boss. No, he's subservient to her because he's inferior to her in rank in the kingdom. That's an unusual circumstance. That is not usual. She respects him. She asks for his advice and honors him where honor is due. But he is her consort, not her boss. Now, the queens that are in the Bible, Esther was a consort. Queens very seldom ruled in the Bible. There's only one queen that ruled, and she usurped the authority. Does anybody know who that queen was? Not Jezebel. Jezebel didn't rule. She had a strong hand on Ahab. But who ruled? The only queen in Israel that ever ruled was Athaliah. And she usurped authority, killed all the royal seed, and they hid one from her. Remember that? Joash. Right. She was not a good role model for a queen, was she? But you know, there's an interesting lady in the Bible. She wasn't a queen, but she might as well have been. See, women owe more to Christianity than men. Now, as the cries of heathen women prove, when God is dethroned in a nation, the women are the first to pay the price. Think about that. Oh, yes. Now, Deborah was not a queen, but she was a judge. Yet she is one of the most remarkable women in the Bible. Prophet, judge, ruler, warrior, poetess. But you know how she referred to herself? Look at Judges chapter 4, verse 5. And boldly she could say, the rulers... She was a poet, by the way. The rulers ceased in Israel, they ceased, until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose, a mother in Israel. She was the first woman leader of men, achieving such a victory for Israel that the land had rest from war for 40 years. But she considers herself the mother to Israel. She deferred to the male leadership, but they didn't take over. They said, "Oh no, we'll go to war, we'll fight for you, but you lead us." Isn't that what they did? Sometimes it takes a woman to do a man's job. Unfortunately. Because men, in a lot of cases, are unwilling to step up to the plate. I'm talking about in the church, folks. There's a lot of men out there that want to rule and reign and submit their wives under their thumbs. But in the church, it seems like the women are more enthusiastic about the work of God than the men. Where would this church be without our faithful women? It would be sunk. I'll say amen to that. It would be sunk. Without you ladies doing what you do, we would not have a church at all. I attribute that to the fact that mothers are nurturers. They care. Spiritual things mean a lot to them, but they are more hands-on than men should be. So I want to pay tribute to you, ladies. And even if you're not a mother, you're a daughter, and you know a mother, you've had a mother, a grandmother, and maybe they haven't been or weren't what you might call super. But God gave you your mother for a purpose, and He picked out the right one for you, whether you like it or not. I've heard that from my mother's lips, whether you like it or not. Because mothers have such an influence. Abraham Lincoln said he wouldn't be what he was if it wasn't for the love and prayers of his mother. And he met his stepmother because his mother died when he was very little. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was heavily influenced by his mother, Sarah Delano, or Delano. She lived at the White House until she died. Mothers are so important. Hannah brought Samuel to the Lord. She dedicated him to the Lord before he was even conceived. And she was faithful in her charge, and when he was weaned, she brought him and gave him to the Lord. But did she forget about him? What did she do? Every year she went up and got him a new change of clothes. Why? Because he was growing. And, you know, she loved him when he was born. She loved him all his life. And forever and ever, her baby, he'd be. He's always going to be her baby. So she watched him grow up. She turned him over to Eli. And Samuel turned out all right, didn't he? Now, Samson's mother and father did all they could to raise him right. I think he strayed a little bit. Some things he didn't remember to do, but all are great people in the Bible. Although the mothers aren't always mentioned, they're right there to defend their baby. Bathsheba, when Solomon's brother, older brother, wanted to take the kingdom, Bathsheba was right in there. David, you promised that kingdom to Solomon and somebody else. She was there to defend her baby. Oh, I really, really do appreciate mothers. I really do appreciate what you all have to do. I could not, in my wildest dreams, imagine what you have to go through just to get us into the world. And then to have those eyes in the back of your head. How do you do that? Get that hand out of the cookie jar. You're not even in the kitchen. You know that child's got their hand in the cookie jar. I don't know how you do it. You know, I remember some of the cute things that my mother and father used to do. They used to sit at the table and she'd play a harmonica and he'd play a harmonica and they'd do little things together. And we'd sit back there and think how cute that was. These things have an impression that never leave you. You remember them all your life. You know, don't you go out there with unclean underwear. You never know, you might be in an accident. And they dress you. And then when you get married, they keep on dressing you. Isn't that right? Because wives baby their husbands. And they shouldn't have to, but they do. I get a lot of admonition, and hopefully I'm learning a little bit, but motherhood never ceases. And a woman is a woman is a woman forever. Thank you, ladies, for being our mothers. What would we do without you? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we appreciate how you do things and how you've got it set up. We thank you for our mothers. And Lord, We ask for a special blessing upon the mothers here today, upon the women here today. Not just the mothers, but every lady, every woman, every female in this place, if they really understood. And we men should be more appreciative of them. We should thank them more and do other little things. But we ask a special blessing upon them. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.